Hello, everyone. How are you? It's Pastor Rod Plummer here in Tokyo, Japan. We're doing a series now on Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2 is all about the joy of God's creation. Genesis chapter 1 is the overview. In chapter 2, we hone in on the joy of God's creation. God loves creation. Let me just share with you as we start the joy of God's creation. In Zephaniah 3:17, Old Testament, it says, "For the Lord is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." And I want to bring a revelation that chapter 2 is all about God's joy in and revealing himself as a master potter, a master gardener, an amazing father, incredible artist. We're just going to really dig into God's joy in his creation. Are you ready? So this week we're going to do number 1. It's all about God's joy in forming Adam. And I've called this a subtitle, God's Joy as a Master Potter. You've all seen people, at least on TV, maybe YouTube or something, a potter spinning a wheel with some clay and forming. And that's the word that we get here for God creating Adam. Are you ready? Because it's going to reveal the joy of God, the incredible, amazing creation. It's not a science textbook, but it is talking about some amazing, amazing things about you and me as sons and daughters of God, or if you're a seeker, how much God created and loves you in his creation. Ephesians 1 verse 4 and 5 says, "He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." In love, in his agape, powerful God love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with, listen, his pleasure, which means his satisfaction and joy, and in accordance with his will, which is his design, his plan. Here in Japan, we have a favorite verse we give to Japanese seeking God. It's Jeremiah 29:11. God speaking, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plan for a future and a hope and not for evil." And many of our beautiful Japanese friends start to get interested in God when they realize there is a creator, he has a plan, he has a desire, he has a will, he is for us, not against us. And I want to share this series about the joy of God's creation. You ready? God as a master potter. So we're going to read from Genesis chapter 2. That is our study material, Genesis chapter 2. And so I'm just going to read to you Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And that word God is the word Elohim, the almighty God, all-powerful, the God of powers, the God of incredible might. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And it's just a great scripture. Now, in chapter 1, verse 26, 27, it's the finale, the high point of his creation, when God finally has a world ready for Adam and Eve. And Genesis 1, 26, "And God said, let us make man in our image," showing the God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Creator God, which we know is Jesus in John chapter 1. That's a different study. But God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the livestock and over the earth and over the creatures that move on the ground." So God created man in his own image, in his own likeness. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. And this is the creative finale of the creation week. And every time God was creating something, the orbits of planets and the earth and the fish and the sea, he said it was good. It's really good. Or as Dr. John Walton says, it's in order. It's right. It's in its place. But after God created Adam and Eve, he looked in verse 31. This is Genesis 1, 31. "God saw all that he had made now, and it was very good." It was very in order, very amazing, very complete. And so the end of chapter 1, God, Elohim, the master God, the power God, the God of powers, he finally said, it's complete. Adam and Eve completes the picture. So when we get to chapter 2, which is where we're going right now, it's the day of rest. The seventh day is a day of Sabbath, which means resting from your work. It doesn't mean sleeping. God never sleeps or slumbers, the Bible says. It means there's a pulling back from the creation power for a while something else happens, when God rests and enjoys his creation. So chapter 2, verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he was doing. So on the seventh day, he rested, he sabbathed from all his work. And God blessed. He blessed. His first word, a blessing here, blessed. God blessed the seventh day of rest and made it holy. Holiness is not earned. It is when God says something is holy or special. Because on it, he rested from all the work he created that he had done. Verse 4, this is the turnover verse that I'm going to talk about. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The second part of this verse says, now, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and he starts to talk about more detail, more excitement, more joy. I'm not saying Elohim in chapter 1 was not full of joy. I'm saying chapter 2 shows us the joy. And so we're going to go into five areas, creating Adam, creating the Garden of Eden, creating a conscience and a relationship, creating Eve, and creating marriage. God has joy. And all of a sudden in chapter 4, chapter 2, 4, it starts saying, okay, that's the big picture. Now let's hone in a retelling. It's not a sequel after, but it's a subsequent report. And all of a sudden it mentions the word, the Lord God. Now this is the first time we use here the word Jehovah or Jehovah, as some people might say. This is the first concept where Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, or Jehovah Elohim. I know it's a bit weird with all these words, but we're translating from Hebrew. And in the English Bible, it just says the Lord with all capital letters, the Lord God. If your Bible has capital letters on Lord, it probably is the word Yahweh or Jehovah. That's just different languages, all right? But the same word in the Hebrew that's called the Tetragrammaton, which is four letters, and most probably Yahweh. Anyway, the point is we hit chapter 2, verse 4, and all of a sudden the Lord God is introduced as a name. Same God, new name. And what Yahweh really means is the God of relationship, the God of covenants. And he makes a covenant with Israel and becomes the God of Israel. For us today, he is a God of the covenant, the new covenant in Jesus. We still have the old covenant blessing, but the new covenant brings grace through the cross of Christ. Incredible God, the God of promises, the God of relationships, the God of joy in his creation. So we're going to go and read on now, and we're going to get to Adam very shortly in verse 7, but let's start in verse 5, and God made the earth and the heavens. And no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. This is obviously before day 6. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Here we go, verse 7. And the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Okay, let's stop. Two parts to this creation. And God formed the man, or God potted the man. And how did he do that? By he taking elements from the dust or the soil, organic elements, putting it together, and then breathing into him the breath of life. So let's just talk about those two things for a moment. The dust, it does speak about organic material, but I don't believe it's a science textbook. I believe it's the picture is taking it, the dust from the ground, and God saying, I made Adam from this material, you know, nitrogen, oxygen, and all the parts of make up a man and a woman. God saying, this man is made from materials. And the other thing it says is that man is basically mortal. This might surprise you, but was God Did God create Adam eternal? Not yet. If it's just from the dust, it's mortal. But that dust, there's a very interesting scripture in Genesis 3:19. It's used at funerals, actually. As a pastor, I guess I've heard this many times. Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, from dust you are, and to dust you will return. This is Genesis 3. It's speaking about this dust. And of course, when a human being dies, the body then degrades immediately. And if it's left in a grave or its tomb or something, it will degrade and go back to dust over time. Now, this is what God says. I made you from dust, and you're going to go back to dust. It also says the same thing in other scriptures. And so that's why at funerals, people often say, from dust you have come, and dust you will return, as they maybe throw a bit of dirt onto the coffin or the space where the coffin has gone in. Dust. The second thing is the breath of life. Now, this is the God part that is, well, they're both amazing, but God breathing on something brings life. And this is the picture of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus, of God the Father, the Trinity together in this force of God and breathing in. We can't do this. We'll never be able to do this. We will never have that power. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit, but only God can give life. Now, in the science field, there are some people who have claimed to create life, but all they've done is taken existing cells and re-engineered it. My own son is in the area of skin cell research. Well, he was. And the concept of taking skin cells and being able to retool them for other use is sort of almost like the Garden of Youth, the Fountain of Youth. That's the saying. If scientists are able to take cells and retool them for other cells, that's an amazing new area of science. But no one is able to actually create a cell from nothing. You can take that nitrogen and the oxygen and the hydrogen, put it together, and you haven't got life. So only God brings the breath of life into animals, into beings, into even a cell, even a human cell. You cannot make from just organic material. God's breath is so powerful. And that's why I love the concept that only God can create, only God can recreate. God's healing power is amazing. And he makes Adam with great joy. Okay, we got this. So let's go through the concept of God forming. Verse 7, the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, formed the man. Now, the Hebrew word formed is just letters. There's no consonants. There's no vowels. So the word formed and the word potter are the same spelling. I know that sounds strange, but it is the same spelling, and it shows you the closeness of the concept of the potter's wheel. So I'm going to spend a bit of time on the potter, because obviously Old Testament culture, they saw pottery everywhere and potters everywhere. Today, you've got to go to a special shop, the potter's shop in your city or in the country town, and you can go. We recently went there on a holiday, and me and my wife and our two boys and their wives, and we saw a pottery shop, and we saw the potter, maybe not the potter, but the pottery materials. And it's a special shop. But in the Old Testament, it was everywhere. It was in every town. And every group of tents, there was probably one person who was a potter. And here it says, God is the master potter, the master former. I think this shows the joy of God's forming Adam, because as I've seen potters on TV or in actuality, I've seen them in Thailand and other countries, there is an art, there is a skill, and there is a joy. That's why they're potters, because they love the concept of turning the wheel and forming new forms, new style pottery, or their style pottery over and over makes it more signature-y pottery for that particular shop. And they make it with joy and they make it with pride. And that's the picture of God forming you and me. We're starting with the first Adam. Pretty amazing. Hey, God formed. So let me tell you the word formed or potter, which is the same Hebrew spelling, is the Hebrew word yatsar. It's often found in other languages, in Phoenician, Syriac, Arabic, Assyrian. It is the ancient word for pottery and the modern word as well. And it says that the first time it's used also in Genesis 2, it also says that God, in verse 19, God formed, potted the animals. Aren't you glad he made things like cats and dogs to be our friends? He formed them to be our friendly, well, some of you might like a dog or a cat better, but God made them with joy to be with us. And those animals are amazing. Yeah, it's great. The word potter or formed is also used in many ways in the Bible. Let me read Isaiah 64, 8. It says, yet you, Lord, Yahweh, you're our father. We are the clay. You are the potter. You are the former. And we are all the work of your hand. Let me read it again. It's really amazing Old Testament scripture. Yet you, Yahweh, you're the promising God, the covenant-making God, you're our father. We are the clay, and you are the potter, and we are the work of your hand. We belong to God. We are his, and that's why he loves people. For God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his son, because he made us, and he loves us. And look at this one, Psalm 33:15, he who forms potters the hearts of all, who considers everything they do, he has shaped each person in turn. Now he watches everything we do, says the Message Bible. He shaped us and he watches over our lives. Look at the formation of the eye, just the eye. Psalm 94, verse 9. He formed the eye. He got the eye on his potter's wheel, and he made beautiful eyes that are either dark color, like my lovely wife, or green or blue or hazel, which is a brown. They're all beautiful. God formed your eyes to be the color they are. Isn't that great? Psalm 95, verse 5, God formed the dry land, which is the continents, countries like Japan, beautiful, beautiful Japan. I'm from Australia, huge, big Australia. And whatever country you're from, it's beautiful, and God has formed it with joy. Jeremiah 10:16 says he forms all things. He's the maker of all things, animals, human beings, nations, seas, just God. I've always loved nature, even before I became a Christian. I guess before I became a Christian, you could say I was a nature worshiper. That's not good enough. I'm not saying that's good, but I've always believed in a creator. So when I found Jesus at 19, I found the creator of the world. I found the creator of the water and the surf and the ocean that I've always loved so very much. So for me being a believer, receiving Jesus, I went from believing in the a God to believing in the God, the former. Let me read it again. Jeremiah 10:16, from a surfer, he forms all things. He forms the ocean and the waves and the dolphins and the fish. And so I love God because he made nature. And we're going to talk about that next time in part two. In Isaiah 43, he formed this all for his glory. Why did God do this? With joy. Well, he wanted to bring his glory to light, and that we can know him. Isaiah 37:26, it says God forms plans. And that is like that scripture in Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you. God says, I formed the plans. We'll come back to that a bit later. And Psalm 139:16, God says, all the days God has for me has been planned, formed, potter wheel. Now, that doesn't mean everything that happens is of God. There are very, very bad things, and I do not believe they are of God. They are of the devil, and they're of a earth that is aging, and they're of human beings who are very selfish, things outside God. But God formed a plan for us to live our lives. Okay, so what I want to do in the remaining time here, I want to talk about just three key scriptures. And here we go. Well, that was one. We've already talked about Genesis 2. Well, here's the next one. This is the second one, Jeremiah 1:5. And I think you should take a note of the scriptures at least from this podcast. So Genesis 2, 7, Jeremiah 1, 5. You ready for this one? It's pretty cool. It's really great. God is speaking, and he's speaking to Jeremiah, the prophet. And I'm just gonna open it up because I didn't have it on my notes. I've got all my notes about my notes. Sorry about that. Give me 1 second. So he's speaking to Jeremiah, who's a young man, and Jeremiah is going to kick back a bit and say, I'm too young. But listen to what God says. Jeremiah 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, to Jeremiah the prophet, saying, before I formed you, before I potted you in the potter's wheel, before I formed you, same word, yatsar, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart, or I made you holy, and I appointed you and gave you as a prophet to the nations. This is an incredible verse. In fact, my son Monty feels this is his life calling in what God has for him, and I'm so glad he felt that was a scripture he read and journaled and just ate and thought about the word of God, and it got into his heart and life, and he's living out of that sense of calling. My son is not Jeremiah, but the word of God brought life in the same way. I love that. I love that about journaling, don't you? You can read God's word and he applies truth. And so think about this. Think about this. Before God formed you in the womb, he knew you. Before you were born, he set you apart as special. Wow. And he appointed you, maybe not as a prophet to the nations, maybe, but he appointed you with your giftings and temperament and background and opportunities and skills to do something great that he planned for you to do. I love these scriptures. Now, as we look at this again in a different way, I think I want to put this in a sequence. Let me read it again. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you. I want to put this in the correct sequence. There's nothing wrong with the scripture, but it's talking about before and after. And so here's the sequence that I see so powerfully in this. Ready? Number one, God knew you. When I say you, I'm you and me. God knew you. It's the perfect tense, which means he has known you. It's like he's not getting to know you now. He knew you. He's always known you. Like that scripture said, from before the creation of the earth, God knew us. God knew us. God knows you. He knows your innermost being. God knew you before he created you. Number two, here's the sequence. He caused you to be holy. Now, I've got to talk about this word holy. It sounds sort of, I know in artwork, it's like, oh, I'm so holy and there's a halo. But no, no, no. Holy means special. And I think any parent would look at their child and with all the flaws and whatever, we would say, that's a special child. That's special, unique, one only, amazing. Well, that's the word holy. It doesn't mean pure. The word pure is a different word in both Hebrew and Greek. The word pure is a great word, but this is not that word. This is kadesh, which means set apart. So God knew you and he set you apart for something special. There's some hole in the world God wants you to fill. There's some need around you God wants you to use. There's some neighbor God wants you to love. There's something for us to do. So God knew you and he said, yep, you're holy. And you'll say, is that everyone in the world? And my answer is, yeah. There's no exceptions. No exceptions. I know that we could talk a lot about, well, what about this person or that nation or this situation they were born in? I get all that. I've been a pastor for so long, 35 years. But I still have to say people are set apart. There's a purpose. And I lived a lot of my life, well, 4 years in my adult life with my wife in Thailand. And we worked amongst the poorest of the poor. And I want to tell you, when there's a little bit of God's word and hope, people just light up like a Christmas tree. We met one girl who was raised as a slave in her family, and her mother was a famous witch, sorceress in that area. And the daughter was raised to be a slave and was prevented from meeting people. And somehow, I don't know this part of the story, someone gave her a Thai New Testament. She started to read and she read some of these scriptures. I'm going to read my last scripture. She read it. And it basically says, God has a plan for you. Her name was Jit, is Jit. And it just everything started moving in her life as she realized that even as raised a slave in a very bad situation, God's word revelation was that, no, she's special. She's special. She's meant to be doing great things. And I think that men and women, as you discover who you are and who God made you to be, you're going to start to have passions arise in your life that might surprise you or not, but there's going to be a rise because you've been made holy. You've been made special. There's only one you. And when we start to get a hold of that truth, like Jeremiah, pretty amazing. Hey, it's pretty amazing. I love this. I love this. I hope you're loving this. Number three, God says, I knew you, I made you to be special, and I gave you as a gift, a prophet to the nations. I gave you the word. The actual English name Nathan comes from this Hebrew word. It's the same word, Nathan. I Nathaned you, I gave you. So if your word name is Nathan, means God gives. Great name. And God gave you as a prophet to the nation. And this is to do with other words such as God chose you, God predestined you, God gave you your personality, your giftings. God gave you to do something in the world. And so God knew you, he said you're special, and he gifted you with amazing, amazing gifts. And in Jeremiah's case, it was a prophet to the world. Some of you will have that gift. I believe God has given me this gift. We live here in Japan and had the joy of preaching the gospel in many, many nations and seeing people from all faiths and all backgrounds receiving Jesus. It's been an absolute joy. It's a joy right now. But not everyone has that gift. Some are called to be business people, to be entrepreneurs, to be mums and dads, to be teachers and coaches, to be sales and marketing people, to be engineers, to be creators and artists and athletes and dancers and singers and worshipers and whoa. It's whatever gift you have, God says, I gave you that. I gave you that. And as people get closer to God and they start realizing the gift, most people get more satisfied and moving towards destiny. All right. So God knew you, God made you wholly special, and God gifted you. Then the fourth one is God formed you. So the formation of man and woman, you, comes after God knowing you, God setting you apart as wholly special, and God gifting you to something great, then he formed you. So God formed you with a plan, which is what that scripture right at the beginning from Ephesians 1. Let me read it again. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, before he formed us, to be holy. There's that word, holy, in the New Testament, hagios, holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us. He created us with great joy and incredible emotion. And he predestined us to be adopted to sonship through his son in accordance with his pleasure and will. That New Testament scripture sums up everything I'm saying here today. But let's go back to our Jeremiah scripture, because I've got the last one is, so he knew you. He set you apart as holy, special. He gave you gifts to do something. Then he formed you in your mother's womb. And then finally, you were born. You were born. And it doesn't matter what, well, it does matter, but no matter what birth experience or background we come from, we need to be secure that we're special, that we're formed, that we're wanted, that the Father in heaven loves us and formed us to do, to have a great life in whatever way we can, and to love him, know him, serve him, discover gifts, and live a life of destiny. I love this. This is awesome. God, isn't that a great scripture? So let me read it to you again in the order in Jeremiah 1, and I'm going to move on. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. And Jeremiah kicks back and says, I'm only a young person. And God says, no, you got to believe this with all your life. Okay. My third and last major area is Psalm 139, King David talking about himself. Now, as we read these verses, which are quite famous, I can't think of us saying it, and yet we should, because it includes the concept of a self-declaration David made, that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I am awesomely, as one of the translations translates it, I'm awesomely and wonderfully made. And so King David says that, and we go, oh, you can't say that about yourself. Well, David did. He did. So we're going to read verse 13 to 16. Psalm 139, 13 to 16. You ready? For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. There's that formation, forming like a potter. I praise you because I am fearfully, the Message Bible says, awesomely. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. That's a confidence of soul that David has. I know you made me like this for a purpose. Verse 15, my frame or my unformed body, my fetus, me as a fetus or as an embryo, was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. He's talking about his mother's womb. Your eyes saw my unformed body. This is a word that means how God folded together. I think it's speaking about DNA. Now, David had no idea of DNA, and only we since the 1950s knew anything about this. So this is not science, but it's incredible revelation that there was a folding or wrapping together of parts to form an embryo. And all the days have been ordained or fashioned. That's the word potted. All the days were potted for me, were written in your book before one of them came to be. I love this. And I think of David under the stars, worshiping, saying, God, thank you that you made me. New Testament, Paul saying, I am who I am by the grace of God. Rod Plummer saying, well, thank you, Lord, that you made me, and I want to make this the best life I can for you. This one life you gave me, I want to use it for you. And this is incredible revelation. This is incredible. This is not science, but it is science in their day, because it's like, wow, how many things did he get right? Well, it's all right. It's scripture. But you know what I mean? Like he's making incredible comments about his own life. And then in the middle of it, he says this, I am awesomely and wonderfully made, as it says in the Message Bible. I think we should have that revelation. It's not being proud. It's saying, thank you, God. It's not being arrogant and or having some privilege or something. No, it's each one of us, as we have a revelation of who we are and what opportunities we can, we're supposed to serve each other. Jesus came and said, the greatest commandment is to love God and love people as you love yourself. This should be the Christian community, no matter what background. There's no privilege based upon anything else, except that we're all privileged because we're all made by God for a special purpose. And I believe God has made you. Absolutely believe it with all my heart. I've lived in, I've visited almost, I think, 40 countries. I don't see different people. I just see people. I honestly see people, brothers and sisters. If they're Christians, if they're believers in Christ, they're my brothers and sisters. And even those outside, they're my potential brothers and sisters. Just seeing people from all these beautiful nations and all their personalities and styles is just joy. Living here in Japan is a joy. And I've lived in Thailand. It was a joy. I've lived in the Philippines. It was a joy. I've visited and I know in Australia, it was a joy. And I know that there's problems in every nation and there's sin and strife and pain and hurt and wounding and poverty. Hey, I've lived in these nations. I'm not denying the problems, but I am just speaking that in the middle of the problems, we can find God's plan and God's purpose. And I believe in a thing called redemption and lift. I really do. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes, the concept of when people come to Jesus and follow God's wisdom, like in Proverbs, there is definitely a redemption and a lift, a redemption and a lift. The poorest of the poor, I've seen them year after year have some lift. So at first, the kids couldn't afford school, but now they can afford school. They had no shoes, but now they've got shoes. I've seen people in shame and horror and pain and abuse finding a place in Jesus and finding physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, background healing, back stuff healing. It's not great stuff, but I know that there is a healer that people can get to a point of saying, Lord, I don't understand that. But in the midst of that, I am amazingly made. Thank you, God, for doing great things. And it's been a joy of our life to live in both Japan, which is first world, and also other nations that are struggling. This is not about anything else except that we're all even and equal in God's eyes, but we're called to do different things. We're called to do different things. So I'm bringing this to a close now. And I have one final scripture, which I love. It's New Testament. And God is a master potter, uses a different word about us. We're going to read Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10 as we close. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. God is the master potter, and he makes us with joy. Okay, here's the scripture. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Not by works. No one can boast. Verse 10, you ready? For we are God's handiwork. The New Testament word, the Greek word is poem. We are God's poem. Wow. Created in Christ Jesus, the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Sorry, the second person. It's all one God. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Do you see how all these scriptures link together? Old Testament, New Testament. God formed Adam as a prototype. It was real, but it was the first of many. And although we were not created like Adam, God formed him. We are created in our mother's womb, like David says, or like Jeremiah says. It's the same concept. God knew us. He set us apart as special, holy. He gave us as a gift and gave us gifts. He formed us and we were born into this world. So let me read it again, verse 10. We are God's poem. That's the actual Greek word. We are God's handicraft. It's an artist who finishes and puts both thumbs up and says, it is finished. It's exactly what I wanted. That's what God said over you. We are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And of course, friends, that's why Jesus came. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he made, that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus, that whoever believes will not perish but have everlasting life. As you discover that you have a creator, you should be getting closer to him and closer to who you are so that you can discover and find and grow together in church and with your husband and wife and families and friends and brothers and sisters, growing towards the purpose of your life. It's called destiny. It's called fulfillment. It's called living a satisfying life. At the end of our life, we say, thank you, Jesus, you came. I was forgiven and loved, and now I know you. So I'd love to pray for you as we close. God, this is number one, the joy of forming Adam. I could just imagine God forming Adam. Ha ha, ha ha. Sorry about that, but just the joy. It's not serious, God. It's beautiful. Creator, the master potter at work in your and my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're part of this. Well, you're the creator, total. You took us from the dust and you breathed life in us in our mother's womb. And you formed us and you knew us and you made us special and you gave us gifts to do something and you formed us to be us. And we were born. And I pray that this message would go out and people would come alive in who they are and who you created them to be. And we will be full of thanks for our master potter that created us with such joy and such desire. We are yours, Lord, and we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all.